The exciting award-winning Dover Quartet is coming to Slee Hall this Wednesday evening for Beethoven String Quartet Cycle Concert No. 3 of the Slee Cycle. It's going to be at Lippis Concert Hall, as usual, at 7:30. And we're fortunate enough to talk with the Dover Quartet's cellist. That's Camden Shaw. Hi, Camden.
Hi, happy to be here.
And I believe your quartet is now the quartet in residence for the Curtis Institute?
Well, actually, we were quartet in residence at Curtis for 1 year in the 2013-2014 school year for Curtis. Now we're faculty in residence at Northwestern University in Chicago, but Chicago's not actually home base for us. We most of the time are just traveling, playing concerts, and actually when we're home, we're in Philadelphia and New York, so we're still just down the street from Curtis, and that was where the group formed. So yeah, I did my undergrad there, but also the other three members as well. I'm actually home right now, which is a very rare occurrence, and every morning at home is an almost religious coffee ritual. Very enjoyable. Musicians and their coffee.
Well, I love talking with musicians about their Curtis experience. There seem to be many aspects in common, but some are unique. What was your Curtis experience? How old were you when you went there? Who'd you study with? What was it like?
It was so wonderful. I went when I was 16, about to turn 17, and I studied with Peter Wiley the whole time. Some people had two teachers, actually. They would occasionally have students that split their studies with two faculty members. But I just studied with Peter Wiley. He, at the time, was playing in the Guarneri Quartet. He had replaced David Sawyer when David retired. And I really, really admired his playing so much and got to hear him perform with the Guarneri several times. And so it was a magical and very inspiring experience. And everything about the school, I mean, the way that I described it to my parents was that it was the Hogwarts of music, which I think is still a very apt description of sort of the magical nature of it. And it's quirky and strange, and you're in an old mansion studying music. And so it was an amazing time, and I look back on it with incredible fondness.
How did you get your name? How did you choose Dover Quartet?
Great question. So it's a sneaky name. It's a tip of the hat to the Curtis Institute of Music without being very obvious about it. The wonderful American composer Samuel Barber also went to Curtis, studied composition and voice there. And he wrote a wonderfully powerful piece, Dover Beach, which he actually himself premiered as the baritone, singing with the Curtis String Quartet, which was the quartet in residence at Curtis at the time. And the piece itself is phenomenal and powerful and a great example of American songwriting and composition. And the fact that it was premiered by the composer at Curtis with the Curtis String Quartet kind of makes it really, really a rich history with the school. And it's really easy to spell and easy for people to remember. So it's a mix of those things, of the really wonderful connections, and it's also very practical, which had to be considered in the name. We had other names in the past, actually, that people found difficult to deal with. So we became Dover.
So you all started at the Curtis Institute. Was there one person who put you together and said, okay, you four, you're a quartet, get busy, or how did that come about?
There was one person who encouraged us to pursue it very seriously, but actually we assembled ourselves, and I played with Milena from the get-go when we were freshmen, and so I've been playing with her now for over 10 years, and the two violinists had also been playing together already in various groups, including an excellent quartet. And when their lower strings graduated, because they were a little bit older, they were looking to still play together, and Milena and I had been looking for different violinists, and everyone had sort of been transient that far, so it seemed a natural fit, you know, this pair of violinists who had already played together a lot. We'd already played together a lot. And so as soon as we sort of assembled the two parts, we like to joke that we were a topless quartet and they were a bottomless quartet, which would surely sell a lot of tickets. As soon as that happened, that pairing, there was something really special. We had one coach, Shmuel Ashkenazi, who was sort of our main coach. He was the first violinist of the Vermeer Quartet and a real presence in the chamber music world. He heard us play one time and he said, you know, you guys should really consider doing this as a profession because you could do it. And then he sort of gave us a small speech about how it was a very difficult life and this and that. But that if, you know, if you wanted musically those rewards, that we had an opportunity to do it. And so coming from him, that meant a lot. And we kind of decided to just go for it. So that was when it really changed. The subconscious idea of it being just a group for fun versus a group for life really changed after that discussion.
We're speaking with Camden Shaw. He's the cellist with the Dover Quartet. They are coming to Buffalo on two separate occasions. One night, March 8th, for the Slee Beethoven String Quartet Cycle Concert number 3. And each of these concerts by the estate of the Slees is in a particular order. And then they'll come back to Buffalo in April for 4, 5, and 6. The concert March 8th is a little unusual in that one of the so-called late quartets of Beethoven that he wrote later in his life had an original ending that he called the Große Fuge, or the Great Fugue. And then, I gather, at the advice of friends and publisher, he wrote an alternate ending. So as part of the Slee Beethoven cycle, that quartet with the alternate ending gets played, but then the Große Fuge gets played all on its own, just as a standalone piece. And so that's going to be the middle of your concert this Wednesday night. There are 6 concerts in the cycle. There happen to be 6 quartets in Beethoven's first string quartet publication, the Opus 18. So that's kind of cool. So every night you get one of those early Haydn-esque kind of quartets.
Right.
And you get a middle-ish quartet. In this case, it's the Razumovsky No. 1 or Opus 59 No. 1, a very popular work. That'll end the program. But I want to talk about this Große Fuge. Beethoven knew, I understand, at the time it was beyond the ken of his contemporaries, and he said, this is for the future. I believe he said that, and here we are in the future, and it still baffles people.
It does. But I think that's also a testament to just how how far in the future he was looking. But, you know, it's amazing. We've had the opportunity to play the fugue for kids and for younger people, and they love it without exception. They love the rawness and the intensity of it. And a lot of the music that they've been exposed to in pop culture actually has, in a way, made them open to that intensity and that sort of harmonic dissonance that exists there. But it's highly organized music, and I think one of the things that's so cool about it was that it sounded very, very strange and out there at the time, and still can now, but it still breaks no rules harmonically. It's very conservative in a lot of ways. And what's so amazing is that all within the rules of tonality, which were pretty set at that point, and would remain so until, you know, the Second Viennese School and some of the French Impressionists, I mean, he really, even within those rules, created this mind-bogglingly complex and elusive harmony. And everything's moving so fast, and it's so intense that it's almost the ferocity of the sound distracts one in a way from the fact that it's actually quite consonant a lot of the time. So it's an interesting ploy of smoke and mirrors in a way. But it's incredibly, it also has incredibly beautiful moments. And there's a moment right at the end where we hear the theme of the fugue one last time with these stirring triplets underneath as it slowly sort of goes to the finish. It's one of the most satisfying moments in all of music to play, is that moment after struggling through, through this incredibly difficult piece, to get to the end. So, and I actually remember Peter Wiley, you know, from the Guarneri Quartet, talking about that moment too. He said, well, just wait till you get to play the end of the Great Fugue, and, you know, you can only imagine how wonderful that feeling is. And he's certainly been proven right in my book anyway.
We've been talking with cellist Camden Shaw. He's the cellist with the Dover Quartet, and along with Joel Link and Brian Lee, violinists, and Milena Pajaro van de Stadt, viola. They are the Dover Quartet. They're coming to Buffalo. They'll be back in April, But right now, they're doing the Slee Beethoven String Quartet Cycle Concert 3 at Slee Hall on the UB North Amherst campus. It's at 7:30. The number out there is 645-2921. Camden, thank you so much for chatting.
Thanks for having me, Peter. It's been really fun, and we're looking forward to being in Buffalo in a couple days.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye.
For WNED WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.